This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The First Unitarian Fellowship of Nanaimo has decided to scale back its homeless shelter operations this year after being overwhelmed by demand last year. The organization's extreme weather shelter for homeless people had been made available every night between November 15th and March 15th last winter from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. But despite increased funding for the increased availability, volunteers were taxed beyond their limit, with up to 25 homeless people seeking shelter at the 24-bed facility each night. Now, First Unitarian has announced that it will return to a stricter extreme weather service, which means that homeless people will only be able to access shelter when temperatures fall below freezing or if heavy rain accompanies cold temperatures. Advocates for homeless people are expressing concerns that the decision will lead to greater suffering and threats to health. We speak with Wallace Millay, an artist and a longtime social justice activist in Nanaimo.
Welcome back to People First Radio, Wallace.
Thank you, Kevin Ashton.
Wallace, help us to understand and give us a little more detail on the difference between a cold weather shelter and an extreme weather shelter and why the difference is so important here.
Okay. Up until two winters ago, Nanaimo operated the extreme weather shelter under provisions by the BC Housing and the provincial government, part of their Housing First strategy. This meant that the criteria, when it started, had to be below freezing, and then as each year progressed along, they changed the criteria from below freezing to two above, plus precipitation in the form of rain or snow, and then last year it was even reaching to where the criteria would have been 4 degrees above. This meant that up until a couple of winters ago, throughout the duration of the winter months, the Unitarian Fellowship was operating through the criteria that was called for by John Horn that winter for exactly 11 nights out of several months. With the winter shelter, we advocated and championed, and it came with help from the mayor and council and others in the community that the right decision was to have a winter shelter for many reasons, one being the safety and welfare of those on the streets experiencing homelessness. And also that part of the homeless initiative is to have housing first, and that means not waiting 3 or 4 years for these low-barrier housing facilities to be built in our community with lots of money, but in the meantime that these individuals needed to be cared for not only for their well-being, and for those that don't care whether the people are homeless or not, they care about money, and all the bean counters, provincial and federal, know that it costs a hell of a lot more money to have them on the street than it does to have them housed.
So a cold weather or winter shelter is open every night, right? Whereas an extreme weather shelter is only open under certain conditions.
And the criteria is arbitrary at best.
Yeah. Now, the First Unitarian Fellowship's homeless shelter isn't the only one in Nanaimo, yet it was operating at near or full capacity last year, according to what I read in the Nanaimo Daily News and the News Bulletin, and its volunteers were reportedly overwhelmed with the demand. Tell us more about your understanding of the demand and the numbers, and tell us a little more about the services that are available in Nanaimo.
Okay. With the shelter, when they decided to go over to winter shelter, I volunteered there for the last 4 winters, starting in 2008. And one thing that brought me there time and time again was the way that people were treated with respect and dignity as far as the fellowship went, compared to other shelters in the community. Salvation Army provides shelter, and they used to provide extreme weather shelter. Also, the Samaritan Host for Women have spaces available when the weather is extreme. The fellowship with the winter shelter was the first low barrier. Other shelters have rules in place where if you're under the influence or anything like that, you're not allowed in the shelters, and that's kind of impossible with the type of individuals that need the assistance, right?
So low barrier, of course, means there are fewer barriers in place to keep that would hold people out of the help that's available.
Correct. You know, if they're under the influence, as long as they're not harming themselves or others or a threat to anybody else, then they were welcomed in there. When the shelter coordinator was put in position, things started changing. It's not that the taxing and overwhelming experience of volunteers. My experience is a lot of volunteers were kind of getting disheartened the last couple of years because of the way that the shelter was being run and their interaction with those they were trying to assist coming in off the street. They were getting frustrated. Another thing that was frustrating when it was extreme weather shelter, you didn't know when you were volunteering, so that made it hard for volunteers and staff. And when you know the shelter is open from November till March, then you know, and it makes it a lot easier to staff people. And there's plenty in this community of organizations and individuals that have said time and time again, we're there to help when you need the help, and all they have to do is ask, and they just don't seem to want to ask.
Art Lionel is the person who's the chairman or the chairperson of the First Unitarian Shelter Task Force. Now, he's quoted in the Nanaimo Daily News as saying the following: "We found it not to our liking, and we don't want to do it anymore. When we were open every night, we became something that people came to automatically. As a church, we're interested in helping people who have difficulties. We're quite happy to deal with the homeless when the weather is bad. We don't want them to freeze, but we don't want to give them a place to come every night. That's not what we're interested in." Now, Wallace, what I'm wondering is this a misunderstanding of harm reduction, or is there a confusion around the notion of low barrier? What is behind some of those statements? I didn't speak with Art Lionel myself. I'm just asking you for your sense of it.
Neither have I, but I see where the Unitarian Fellowship, if they don't want to operate a winter shelter, then that's fine with me. But it's the way that they went about bringing that decision to the community at the last hour. Art Lionel I've not met, but I don't differentiate between church and state, and when people turn around and decide they have the moral authority to decide who's deserving, undeserving of the community, I have a problem. And Art Lionel speaks for the Unitarian. I guess the moral compass of the Unitarian Fellowship left when Karen Fraser Gitlitz left.
People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and the issues related to health and wellness. Coming to you on CHOY 101.7 FM and streaming at CHOY.ca.
The First Unitarian Fellowship of Nanaimo has decided to scale back its homeless shelter operations this year after being overwhelmed by demand last year. Volunteers were taxed beyond their limit, with up to 25 homeless people seeking shelter at the 24-bed facility each night. First Unitarian will return to a stricter extreme weather service, which means that homeless people will only be able to access shelter when temperatures fall below freezing or if heavy rain accompanies cold temperatures. Advocates for homeless people are expressing concerns that the decision will lead to greater suffering and threats to health. We're speaking with Wallace Millay, an artist and longtime social justice activist in Nanaimo.
Wallace, what are the specific concerns about the proposed change from winter shelter back to extreme weather shelter at First Unitarian? I'm getting at things like health concerns and other things.
Yes, and those that are experiencing homelessness on the streets in Nanaimo have compromised immune systems. They have insufficient nutrition. They have insufficient clothing or any type of shelter. So the chief medical officer and many others have stated that this is a health concern in many variables, and it doesn't have to be 4 or 2 degrees or below in precipitation to have hypothermia, for one thing. The other communities have experienced people that have died during the winter months, and we came to the conclusion a couple of years ago that the right thing to do was have a winter shelter over the next few years until all the low-barrier housings are in place. My main concern right now is the way the Unitarian Fellowship came to this decision. The shelter closed in the spring. They had ample time to get together and put forward their decision to either operate the winter shelter or not operate the shelter, and they chose to wait until 3 or 4 days before the deadline for proposals from other people in the community to put forward a proposal for a winter shelter, and this left everyone here short. So if they want to not do the winter shelter, I don't have a problem with that, but you might want to wait until next year to come with that decision and hold your social and moral responsibilities to this community and those you profess to care about, and open the shelter this winter. There's plenty of people around that will assist and help and other organizations, so do the right thing. And if you decide at the end of the season you want nothing more to do with this, well, then we have ample time to make other arrangements in the meantime.
John Neville is the chairperson of the Nanaimo Working Group on Homelessness, and Gord Fuller, of course, is the chair of Nanaimo's 710 Club. They both oppose the change that First Unitarian wants to make. You do as well, that's clear. But Kevin Griffith, who's the paid coordinator at the Unitarian Shelter, says that many of the people served at the facility last winter will be moving into a new low-barrier supported housing facility on Wesley Street in September. Now, what are your observations on that? What part does new housing play in all of this? And you've referenced it just briefly.
Okay. Wesley Street has approximately 36 units. In order to that 36 units, there's either six or eight individuals that access the winter shelter on town site will have accommodations. So that leaves another 15 or 16 individuals that are going to be out in the street. Kevin Griffith, ex-employee of Salvation Army, and the way the shelter's been run the last couple of years, you might as well say it's the Salvation Army. So I don't see any difference as far as how things are being implemented. And as far as the numbers go, it doesn't add up to addressing the issue this winter. Once a couple more facilities are in place, well, then you have enough adequate housing around to deem the winter shelter either obsolete or downgraded to where it'll only be assisting a small number of individuals.
Now, I'll refer again to something that was quoted by, that was said by Art Lionel, the chairman of the First Unitarian Shelter Task Force, and this came in the article in the Nanaimo Daily News. Art Lionel said that when they were open every night, they ended up becoming a club for the homeless, which was not their mandate. What are your thoughts about this notion of a club for the homeless and the actual mandate that's associated with the shelter?
Well, when it comes to the term homeless, it's discriminatory right off the bat because it paints everybody with the same brush. So Art Lionel coming forward and saying this is a club for the homeless, well, I take offense to that for many reasons. I guess one of them would be, what's so wrong with people that are experiencing homelessness in our community gathering at a place? With the extreme weather shelter that you never knew from one day to the next, through misinformation and everything else, whether a shelter was going to be open and a place to lay your head. This way here, they knew every day that they had a place to go. And what's wrong with that?
Thanks very much for taking the time to join us, Wallace. And we'll track this story and perhaps we can speak with you again on it.
I appreciate having the opportunity to come in and speak.
Wallace Millay is an artist and longtime social justice advocate from Nanaimo, British Columbia. You can find him online at Facebook. Nanaimo's First Unitarian Fellowship is located at 595 Townsite Road, and you can find them online at ufon.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.